Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water, a kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Mike Sando from The Athletic joins us every Monday at 2:20. We look back at the weekend that was. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Let's start. You wrote about it today. I love this because I think we all were wondering the same thing. It's kind of the chicken and egg theory, right? What comes first? What's more important in New England? Was it Belichick or was it Brady? Have we solved that problem?
I think that yes. I mean, clearly having one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a long time is harder to find than a good coach. Now, Belichick may be, you know, different than other coaches. Obviously, he's great, but that ingredient is critical. And I don't think that they'd be 6-0 if Brady were there, but certainly they probably wouldn't be turning it over as much, and they'd have a little bit more continuity. And it's fair to look at the Patriots and say, did you really need to move on from that guy, or maybe you could have built around him a little better?
Part of it too is the offensive coordinator too. I mean, what Josh McDaniels looked pretty smart with Tom Brady when he was on his own. Didn't look as smart, but you mentioned it. We saw it last night in the Seahawks game. I mean, there's no more important position in sports. If that guy's good and doesn't make mistakes, you can win. If that guy's not good and does make mistakes, you're in trouble.
For the most part, show me a Hall of Fame coach and I'll show you a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. Not always, but that's the way it goes. And it's funny, I was looking last night. I didn't realize you think of Josh McDaniels as being almost exclusively with New England. Yeah, a little bit in Denver, but he actually has about 69 games as a coordinator or head coach with other quarterbacks other than Brady, and there's a huge difference in the performance of his team based on who that guy is, and that's going to be the way it is for a lot of coaches. But with Brady, 27 points a game on offense without him, with other guys starting, under 19. So that's the difference between basically leading the league most years or ranking in the bottom 7 or 8. And, you know, they hope to be and were a little bit better than that with Cam Newton for a while, but it's been tough going lately.
How bad are the Patriots? How big, actually, more than this, what kind of drop-off has it been on both sides of the ball for the Patriots?
Yeah. Well, last year they were unusually strong on defense and special teams, especially early in the year. And they played some really bad opposing quarterbacks that helped them. But I think that propped up last year a little bit. You know, the offense has been declining a little bit as they've lost Gronkowski, haven't had good weapons, right? I mean, they've drafted N'Keal Harry. That hasn't done it. And so the defense, I think, is still okay, but it's not as great and dominant as it was last year. They've had, you know, Dont'a Hightower, others, not with the team. So the whole thing has probably eroded a little bit. And, you know, I think it drives home the idea that, for sure, it's just a lot different. It's never going to be what it was.
You wrote about it, and I think it's a great way to put it. Winning team, losing team. Atlanta, losing team, Todd Gurley. Winning team, Seattle, DK Metcalf. Last night, notwithstanding, but just if nothing else, those two plays basically were a great example of what winning and losing is all about.
You know, it's funny. We were talking just at The Athletic about how great that play was and, you know, maybe do a story on it, that sort of thing, and you know, besides DK Metcalf just being faster than most people, he could actually do that. Not everybody could run somebody down, a great athlete like Buda Baker. But when you're on a team that's winning, you know, you see guys playing with an edge and playing for each other and really, really giving. That's what 110% is. You know what I mean? The cliche of 110%. 100% is just out there playing hard and running. But that is another level of selling out that happens when you've got a team that's playing with something on the line. And you know, in fairness to Todd Gurley in their game, it was a little confusing, I think, for him because I don't think Detroit's defense played it how they thought. You know, they sort of started to tackle him, and then he was breaking free, and he sprung out. So At the same time, that's just sort of what happens when you're on a losing team, right? It's either a boneheaded play, it's a confusing play, at worst it's a selfish play, you're trying to score a touchdown, whatever it is, that's what happens when you just can't get things going right and people maybe aren't as dialed in as they are in a team where, you know, you've got something to play for.
It's just like I watched that live, and you could tell he's like, oh, I got to get down. And by then it was like, okay, momentum and everything else. It was too late because they kind of made contact with him, and there it was. He broke the plane. Meanwhile, I mentioned this to somebody today, Mike, and I don't know if you agree or disagree. To me, it didn't even matter if DK Metcalf caught Buda Baker. Like, if he wouldn't have caught him, whatever. It does. I mean, it's just the effort that he put in was remarkable and speaks volumes. And remember the thought, well, is he going to learn a lesson from what happened in that Dallas game? Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see a lack of effort from him again.
I've just loved everything he's been about since he's come to the team. You know, from it seemed like he's always putting in extra time and was just wanting to get better. And you can see the results on the field. And yeah, that type of play was amazing. In addition to all the great plays he makes just catching the ball, I think that's something that is great for a young player to kind of be known for, right? I mean, it's going to be a remembered play. It would have been more iconic if they won the game, probably, but still, I think that's something that's going to define him, and pretty good thing to have be part of what's defining you.
You did some analytics on the EPA rankings under Mike Smith and Dan Quinn, the last two head coaches for the Falcons. A lot of discussion here about, well, would Seattle be better off if they brought Dan Quinn in, even as a consultant to kind of an extra set of eyes for Pete Carroll and Ken Norton? I'm looking at and you can kind of explain to everyone exactly what these rankings mean, but it's not like Dan Quinn's defenses were lighting up the world.
Right, but they weren't under Mike Smith either. Basically, the whole time of Mike Smith, which was 2008-14, and Dan Quinn, 15-20, was all under the general manager, Thomas Dimitroff. And that entire time, no matter who was the head coach, they were basically top 5 to top 10 on offense and bottom 5 to bottom 10 on defense. So I don't think Dan Quinn's a bad defensive coach. I don't think Mike Smith was a bad defensive coach. But you have to have defensive players. I think Pete Carroll's not a bad defensive coach, but it makes a big difference. So I think for Atlanta, you know, if you were to just dial in even deeper on them from a personnel standpoint, they really never really got the defensive end position right. And that's obviously a critical position for rushing the passer. And I think we're seeing in Seattle, you know, in a year when offense is way up anyway, defenses seem to be at a disadvantage anyway. There's no crowd noise, by the way, right? Half the games you'd be have an advantage of at least crowd noise.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you take away Jamal Adams, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think Dan Quinn should be stayed away from because of what happened in Atlanta. If you agree that they did a much better job stocking the cupboard on offense there than they did on defense, whether it was Dan Quinn or Mike Smith, right? That didn't change suddenly with Dan. They didn't get way worse with Dan.
What did we learn from Baker Mayfield yesterday?
Well, I think it was a great bounce back to have the 5 touchdown passes and win. Just a little bit of, you know, kind of mojo for him after a really tough game against Pittsburgh. That said, it is against Cincinnati. So, you know, the Bengals won 2 games last year. They've won a game this year, and they're just not very good. Their defense is in some disarray. You know, they basically benched Carlos Dunlap, one of their best players. So there's some stuff going on there, but, you know, that's not really under Mayfield's control, right? He's just got to do what's in front of him. And I think for somebody who has a lot of scrutiny on him, it was a good game for him in the context of what they're asking him to do, which I think they've done a good job of helping him and having a run game and taking a little bit off of his plate.
But they're not throwing a lot on early downs. You pointed that out in your column today. I mean, the Sando Cook index. Are they truly protecting him?
Yeah, they definitely are. And I think, you know, we've seen as Seattle's evolved that, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been the best thing for Russell Wilson his first 2-3 years in the league, or even 4 years in the league, to be throwing as much as they are now, right? I mean, it's a harder burden on your team. You definitely want to take advantage of those early downs because people are playing the run. But if you don't have the protection of your defense having eyes on the running back, it can hurt you as a quarterback. Just look at Tennessee. I think Tennessee is a great example. I mean, they sort of have the equivalent of Marshawn Lynch right now, right, and Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And people have a hard time dealing with Ryan Tannehill because they're worried about that back. They're down 20 points. They're still running them. And so when you have, like Baker Mayfield does, a good offensive line, a couple of good running backs, it can take the pressure off of you until you fall behind, right? And we've seen that with just about anybody, whether it's Cam Newton in New England, which is a run-based offense, or Mayfield. It's harder when you get behind.
No doubt about it, my friend. Hey, quick thought from you. Good Monday night game, 5-1 Chicago. They don't feel 5-1 to me, but they're 5-1 against the Rams, who have a couple losses. Seahawks fans, and you can hear that game here on 950 KJR. Seahawks fans would be big Chicago fans tonight, but kind of give me a little thought on that game tonight from your perspective.
You know, the Bears are going to go 15-1, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I don't think they're any good. You know, that's what it just feels like to me. Like, they're really a 3-2 or, you know, 3-3 team that has this better record, but they do have a good defense. And, you know, that is a rarity in the NFL right now. I mean, how many teams could you say? You know, it's a handful, right? 5 or 6 teams that play good defense. So when you play against a team like the Rams, who, you know, have a good offense, but it's a heavily managed offense, right? It's very heavy on play action. It's not like Goff is, you know, has this amazing elite skill set and there's nothing you can do about it. I think when you have a good defense, you can try to make them play a little bit out of their comfort zone. And they did that. Really, the Bears were one of the first teams to do that in 2018. Since then, I think McVay and the Rams have done a good, better job this year. I think this is a really intriguing matchup for that. If I'm watching this game as a football fan, Chicago solved the Rams' defense. Do they still have the solution? Or has McVay gone back to the lab? Because remember, they solved that wide zone running game. They took it away from the Rams. And teams after that, Super Bowl, Patriots, had success. So I think it's a great matchup. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I agree, Bears aren't as good as their record. But you know what? You are sort of what your record is after a while, and more power to them. You know that Matt Nagy has the best record of any coach hired in that 2018 class, better than Vrabel. So that defense goes a long way.
That's a crazy stat. So who's in that class? Vrabel, Nagy, who else?
Vrabel, Nagy's in it. A couple guys who've been fired in it. And you know what? If I would have known you were going to ask me that, I would have had the whole thing in front of me. But I can't remember the whole. I actually can't remember the whole class.
Well, listen.
But a couple of those. Oh, Matt Patricia's in there.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, they came out of it. They came out of it okay, even though I'm with you. Doesn't it feel like not a success in Chicago?
It does, but mostly because of the quarterback situation. It goes back to what we talked about earlier with quarterback with even New England, right? It's about if you have that guy, you're fine. If you don't have that guy, it's not. It feels like, you know, it's a struggle. And I think if you don't have a successful quarterback, I think we see what ends up happening. So, my friend, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great stuff. We'll check you out at theathletic.com. There's always a deal going on, probably. Is the $1 deal still happening for everybody?
You know, I don't know, but I just remembered that it's John Gruden is in that class also with Frank Reich, so there's some good coaches. You have to look up on your own to see if the deal's there, but I hope it is. Hope people read. Hope they enjoy my Pick 6 columns up there today and every Monday during the season.
Great column, man. It's fantastic. Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Mike Sando, brought to you by our good friends at Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice Water, of course. You got the caffeinated Cascade Ice, 17 ounces. Absolutely fantastic. You can go non-caffeine as well. It is sugar-free. It is calorie-free. It is gluten-free. Caffeine or caffeine-free, doesn't matter. You can find Cascade Ice in your local grocery store. Fantastic stuff. Big thanks to the crew at Cascade Ice.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.